You give and you give and you give, and still no appreciation.
Hello, everybody, except for you. You know who I'm talking about. It is, again with this, Melrose Place. This is Season 5, Episode 4, Hunka Hunka Burnin' Love. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
An announcement about our episode of Again with This, episode 90, dropping April 1st. It's not an April Fool's joke, but it is us watching Jenny Garth on the Larry Sanders Show. It's season 4, episode 12, Larry's sitcom. It is on HBO Max. We'll have a link to it in the show notes.
We surely will. We also want to tell you that our next Again with Them, our digest covering the March episodes of Jenny and Tori's podcast, 90210 OMG, is dropping March 31st. I want to update you. I very confidently said at least it's only going to be 4 episodes, and then they dropped a bonus episode on us. So great. At least that one's short. I also want to report that we were hopeful that after they talked a whole bunch about interviewing Dean Cain, they would abandon that idea. And they didn't. We're recording this on March 13th, and that interview went up today. So great. As always, that's a perk for our Patreon supporters at the $5 level and up. Sarah, I can tell you, the 3 episodes that have dropped thus far in March are all just interviews with one person, and they're all short. Relatively short.
Birthday month.
The Dean Cain is the longest one, and that's 54 minutes, including, I assume, ads. I have not listened to it yet. So they're not as bad as they could be. But anyway, as I said, perk for our Patreon supporters at the $5 level and up, and you can find that and all of our other bonus episodes at patreon.com/againwiththis. Let's get into this episode. I was like, why is it called this? And then I remembered. So we'll get to it. Let's start with our B plot. Billy's good girl problems. Billy comes home pouting from Allison's and then can't work the lock on his apartment door. Just as he's kicking his way in, Samantha enters the courtyard and, sounding amused, asks if he's okay. He is rude and pissy, does not remember meeting her earlier, and tells her to mind her own business. And she's like, no problem, jerk. The next day, Allison somehow knows that Jake slept in his office the previous night, and he admits that he didn't feel like being at the complex. But it gave him time to think. Clip 2.
You know, the bottom line is we got together pretty quick, and thinking didn't have a whole hell of a lot to do with it. Maybe this is a good time for us to step back, you know, take a look at the situation from all sides, logically, you know what I mean?
The only logical thing to do is to bring our relationship out in the open.
Well, it's not that easy. There's other people involved.
What other people? Oh. This is about Jane, isn't it?
Well, the last thing she needs is for Billy to put some ugly spin on this thing, especially after everything she's been through.
I see. So your concern for her is the real reason we've been skulking around keeping this whole thing under wraps.
Come on. We've been bending over backwards to protect your precious Billy.
That was a decision we made together.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm over it. Only people that matter in this are you and me. And anybody who can't handle that can just go to hell for all I care.
You gonna tell Billy that?
Yeah, I think I will.
Someone should.
Honest to God, maybe Jake should also move out if pissy neighbors are this big a problem for both of them. Like, what is actually happening? I understand it's the point of the show that these aren't just neighbors. They are extremely entwined unhealthily.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really getting ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, this is not, like, this is eighth grade shit.
Yes. Yes.
Like, she moved out. Now Billy knows, like, the worst thing that could happen has happened.
Yeah.
If the actual issue is that the fun of it was the sneaking around, then just say that. But yeah. This is a soap opera, so like find another way to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Jane part of it all was not even a consideration until like this episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, the next night we watch a locksmith working on a door for the second time this season. Reminder, it's episode 4. This time he's fixing Billy's door when Allison rolls up. Billy asks relatively calmly what brings her by. She doesn't care if he tells everyone what he knows. She just wanted to say she and Jake didn't go public. The reason she and Jake didn't go public before was to protect Billy. And Billy makes a bunch of real sarcastic faces. You can see, I believe, either 8 or 10 of them in one big supercut in the visual aids. None of these faces deter Allison from asking Billy for his blessing. Good God, clip three.
My blessing? So let me ask you this. That night that I waited for you at dinner and, you know, you never showed. You slept with them that night, didn't you? You must think I'm pretty stupid.
Yep.
It wasn't like that.
Sure it is. You enjoy pulling the wool over my eyes. Why not? You're good at it. This whole time we've known each other, I had no idea you were such a slut.
Fuck you.
If you need to hate me to get over this, that's fine.
Takes too much energy to hate.
Oh, damn it! Just yell at me! Don't just pretend you've dealt with it.
Drop by any time, Allison. Oh, and all the best to your boyfriend.
Yell at me? He just called you a slut! He already did! Just because he said it quietly does not mean it didn't happen.
Ugh. Yeah, also, it's Billy.
Yeah, it's disgusting is what it is.
Yeah.
But yes, also it's Billy.
And I mean, the show has a lot invested in this being like the end game couple. And it's like, okay.
You would think, but apparently they never do get back together. Like they never reunited after the failed wedding. So it's like, what are we still doing beating this dead
horse?
Yeah,
why are we write one of these people off?
Yeah.
Not her.
They both have separately married other people. Since the time that they were dating, like they both moved on. Ugh. As Allison stomps out, she becomes the latest character in this episode to be rude to Samantha while Samantha's just trying to walk through the courtyard and live her life. Samantha draws to Billy that Allison must have taken the same rude pill Billy did the other night, which rude pill is not a killer line, but I'm glad she's not just taking their shit because, I mean, she should move out, but that's a separate issue. Sometime later, Billy visits the store to be weird, specifically after Jane invites him to the store's grand opening party the next day. Clip 4.
Jake and Allison going to be here?
Yeah, I want all my friends to be here.
Yeah, friends.
I mean, again, this is like the way that the show has this set up. Like, there's absolutely no way that any functioning adult would not like cotton on to his tone. I understand why they have to do this. They just need to do it better and faster. That's all.
Yes. So he's in, and then he wanders over to Samantha to say he asked around to find out where she worked so he could apologize for being shitty to her and ask her to dinner, and she declines. Clip 5.
Why not?
Well, first impressions mean a lot to me, and when it involves the destruction of property, I tend to pay extra special attention.
Look, I had a lousy day, and, you know, I was locked jammed. I got a little frustrated.
Say the least.
In spite of what you might think, I am a nice guy, and I would like to prove it to you. I'd also like to hear your life story.
Yeah, right.
I would grab a bite, catch a movie, that would at least get us through junior high, I think. How about tomorrow night at 7?
You know, if my mother were here, she would tell me to drop you like a hot potato. She's not. What the hell? 7.
Are we ever going to meet this Maryland lady? She seems to come up a lot.
Yeah. And what's with the equating Maryland with like a whatever cornpone Appalachian holler wisdom?
Yeah.
Won't be the last time in this episode, but any hoodle.
Yeah. The first red flag for Samantha to have stuck on her no was, you know, she saw Billy kicking his way into his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
But the second red flag is, I'm a nice guy. Because if you say that, you're not.
Yeah. And also, why not?
Yeah. Right.
Because your mouth is always open. I could go on. I have gone on.
Later, Jane goes to Shooters to personally invite Jake to the party. He didn't even know if he and Jane were friends anymore, and she laughs at the idea that he could think such a thing. She was in a twisted situation, and it's behind them now, so Jake will go. And then Billy's at the bar, ordering a beer, and being a bitch about it. Clip six.
So, how you doing?
Fine. Why do you ask?
Come on, man. You know what I'm talking about.
You mean, how am I taking the fact that you're doing Allison? It doesn't bother me. I saw Jane on the way in. How'd she take the happy news?
And she doesn't know yet. And I would appreciate it if you didn't say anything until Allison and I had a chance to talk to her.
Well, you gotta be interested in something to want to talk about it. I don't give a damn, so I don't have anything to worry about. Keep the change.
Hey, man, obviously you wanted to talk about it, or you would have not have come to this particular bar that apparently is not even walking distance from your apartment. So shut the fuck up. Truly the worst.
Oh, my God. Also, why does Jane give a shit? Like, I guess we could talk about that part later, but it's like, yeah. You just got away with almost killing someone that ended up dead.
Yeah.
Who raped you.
Yeah.
You're really preoccupied with Jake fucking Allison? I don't know.
I don't buy it either. So
it's a soap. I don't know why I ask.
Seriously. Billy's decided to take Samantha to the same joint where Allison just stood him up, I guess because the set was still built, although he didn't rent out the whole place this time. And apparently Samantha's never heard that you shouldn't fill up on bread because she is talking through a mouthful of it when we join them. Billy, sounding bored, asks for the story of her life, and she says there isn't a restaurant this fancy in her hometown of either Crispville or Christville, Maryland. Hard to tell. Mouthful of bread. Her mother is a beautician. Her dad is a waterman. It's nice, but it's not the place to be for someone who's interested in art. And as Samantha tells Billy about her RISD scholarship, his eyes start wandering enough for her to notice and call him on it. And he admits that he doesn't think that he can do this. She thinks it's because she talks too much and not because, as she already knows and said when he asked her out, he sucks. But he says that's not it and tells her about the last time he was there. He thought he would come there with Samantha to get over Allison. And Samantha, much more nicely than she needs to be, says she gets it and they leave on friendly terms. Speaking of Allison, the very next scene is Jane at her doorstep asking to check out Allison's new place. And since they haven't had a cordial exchange in a while, Allison is visibly surprised but lets her in. Jane wishes they hadn't been so estranged lately. That's mostly on her and her murder plotting, but I guess she can't say that. But Allison nicely lets her off the hook, and at the mention of dead Richard, Jane again beams that it's all in the past. Happiest face you ever did see. She misses their friendship and wants Allison to come to the party. Allison accepts and they hug, but when Jane's about to leave, she notices a shirt on a chair by the door and notes that it's Jake's. And Allison says he left it when he was helping her move. And sure, Jane can return it to him, but outside, Jane thinks she just maybe figured something out. And from here, they all cross over into the A-plot, so stand by. Speaking of the A-plot, here it is. All the doctors have problems, girl and otherwise. Michael comes home to find Kimberly sitting in the dark. The medical board is reviewing her license. Michael is sure it's just a formality, and like, if they were letting her practice medicine after she blew up a building, he's probably right.
But yeah.
She mopes that she doesn't deserve happiness after the life she's led and won't let Michael cheer her up or get anything going sex-wise, which makes him suspect that she's Betsy again, but she dismissively says, that's all over, LOL, sure. She's just not in the mood. But maybe Michael could just hold her for a while instead. Clip 7.
They say that this kind of intimacy can be just as fulfilling as sex.
Oh, yeah? I never heard that.
Just a classic Mancini line.
It really is.
Like, yeah, no, I never heard that. Mm, I bet you didn't.
Then Peter kisses Amanda awake on his way out to reclaim the helm at the medical practice. She thinks he should take the week off to regroup, but he just wants to move forward. Speaking of which, when can she start packing? He assumed that she would move into his place. They are married, after all. But they have apparently never even talked about this once. But he thinks there's nothing to discuss. He lives in a big house and she lives in a dinky apartment, which, other than his attitude, he's not wrong. It is small relative to his house. And at the office, Sydney hands Peter about 5,000 phone message slips and tries to tell him that they ran out of money while he was incarcerated. And he's just like, handle it. But there's more. Taylor's in his office. She tries to get him to say she looks familiar, but apparently he can't. Clip 8.
Have we met?
You might have seen me at the apartment building that your wife owns. I just moved in.
Oh, of course. Right, right. Well, the truth be known, I haven't been around much lately.
Well, one of the neighbors, Matt, I think it was, told me that I should see you. I have a heart murmur. It's something that I've had ever since I was a child in Missouri. It's a family condition. My father had it, too.
The hopefulness with that Missouri. But there's zero recognition from Peter in any of this, but he tells Taylor to make a follow-up appointment with Sydney. And even when she gives him a charged look at the door, he just blandly smiles back. So we're not going to find out Taylor's deal today, apparently.
No, but based on that, I assume it's that he killed her father? Or either that or the writers don't know yet. Who knows?
Well, Missouri is where Peter Howell lived. So I assume something to do with that family. But anyway, at the hospital, Michael stops Matt in the hall to see if he looks strung out. Well, midterms are over and he's caught up and drug-free. So Michael reports what Dr. Shulman told him. And Matt snaps that he needed to catch up on classwork after he was sick. And it's no big deal. But it turns out Michael has a reason to take this personally. Clip 9.
Look, do you think you're the only one who's ever needed help in med school? I started taking speed to get through exams, too. Pretty soon, I needed the boost to get through rounds, then rotations. I was on schedule all right, but the pills were in charge of it. Uppers for work, downers for sleep. Look, I appreciate your story, really, but it's not mine. I'm all right. Okay, let me tell you something, Matt. I may not be the poster boy for family values, but I was smart enough to get clean. And for both our sakes, you better be, too.
Okay, I guess.
All right. Don't care.
No. Amanda's waiting in her car outside Peter's place when he comes home with champagne. She really wants to discuss their cohabitation plans, but right now he has a bride to carry over the threshold. And no sooner has he opened the door than a couple of kids and their harried parents come running out because they now own the house, which was sold while Peter was incarcerated. This is per the real estate agent that is there, Clip 10.
Well, I'm his wife, and no one gave anyone permission to sell this house.
Well, from what I understand, his office manager authorized the sale.
Sydney? How could Sydney do this?
She can't. That's impossible.
Not only is it possible, escrow closed yesterday.
Well, I don't care what closed, but you're on my property, honey.
Peter, calm down.
I'm not calming down.
You are the trespasser here, Dr. Burns, and I hope I am not going to have to call the police.
This is insane!
You heard the lady. She's going to call the police.
I don't care what she does. You know what this is? This is a setup, some kind of scam or something.
And we will take care of it tomorrow.
You bet I will. And by putting my hands around Sydney's neck and strangling her to death the first thing in the morning, and her too.
I've already had one close call between you and a murder charge. I'll be damned if there's another.
Amanda!
Let me kill someone!
This should not work. This, I'm going to kill someone. And, the whole time that they're arguing with the real estate agent, he's holding Amanda in his arms pre-threshold.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they both just have the funniest expressions. I mean, I don't know. They're just good at this. It's a pleasure to watch them being good at their jobs, even though the writing is real estate, real estate, real estate, real estate. Who cares? It's funny.
Well, I mean, we'll hear that there actually is a credible reason for this, but.
Yeah.
So the next day when Sydney shows up to work at the medical office, Peter and Amanda are both there lying in wait. Clip 11.
Did you really think I wouldn't notice a family of four in my house?
Well, I tried to tell you yesterday, but you wouldn't listen. And with the legal bills you were running up in the pokey, bankruptcy was the only other option.
What a crock. What illegal strings did you pull to carry off this little swindle?
Everything I did was under the letter of the law, I swear.
Well, then, tell me, Sydney. How'd you do it?
Well, Mr. Tex Dodger, if you hadn't listed your house and all of its contents under the corporation, then I wouldn't have been able to. But as part owner and office manager, I had the authority to sell any and all assets necessary to keep the business afloat. I'm sure once you get over the initial shock, you'll thank me.
I guess that solves the dilemma of where we'll be living.
Someone did a research. That's true. I was impressed.
I love, well, Mr. Tax Dodger.
Yeah.
Sydney.
Because that is why you would do it. And you probably wouldn't get caught if you weren't, you know.
Always getting caught because you're on a soap.
Exactly. Yeah. Sydney then adds that Peter also has to return to his leased BMW in a couple of days. Peter, clip 12.
You're fired.
I think not. We had a deal, remember? I stay on permanently or the sexual harassment suit goes to the courts.
I've been in jail, Sydney, for murder. A sexual harassment suit would be a walk in the park.
Again, very economical dispensing with that whole extortion threat.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wrap on Sydney's employment. I feel like if they were in a legal partnership where contracts were signed, there would be more legal wrangling to get her out of it. But business, doesn't matter. Who cares? Moving on.
Yeah.
So Jane's store is called Jane's and Kyle's restaurant is called Kyle's. Guys, we know there are a lot of episodes, but let the writers have more than 3 minutes to name this shit, please, because lazy. Inside, Kyle invites Taylor to christen the place while the construction crew is on break. Again, this is episode 4 and already the second time in the season that Kyle has suggested christening a place. Thankless role alert. But
yeah, and been turned down. Right? Hello?
Oh, no, I think they did do it in the apartment because she went into the bathroom to get her diaphragm. But really, the Peter clipping again. This time, however, Taylor's not into it. And when Kyle turns her face toward him, he can see that she's crying, or at least that Lisa Rinna's cheeks are wet. And Kyle says she's been moody since yesterday. She admits that she regrets coming to L.A. What would he think about going back to Boston after their truck full of shit just arrived? He is reasonably confused. Clip 13.
This is some kind of test, isn't it? And you make me say yes to every damn thing you want, and somehow that proves I love you?
Kyle, please, let's not get into that.
I made a mistake one time. Once. I told you it wouldn't happen again. I promised you that, and I meant it. Look, moving to Los Angeles, that was a way for both of us to start clean. I'll be damned if I take a step backwards from here.
I'm just not sure this city's gonna give us what we want.
Then we will take it.
Ooh.
If we find out that what he actually did was refuse to ask for directions and they were already running late to a wedding that she was a bridesmaid in, actually, I'm going to be completely content with that because that would be hilarious. But she's like, I'm really mad. We're moving across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Just please tell us what's going on.
Well, we at least get to find out their deal soon, but... In the meantime, he kisses her, but the arm that is wrapped around her neck and pointing at the camera is like in a fist. You can see this in the visual aids. It's really weird. Before, Kimberly said she was under review by the medical board, which I guess the show doesn't care to distinguish from the hospital board because that's where she is, meeting with a bunch of dudes. They got a disturbing report on Kimberly from Nurse Benson at Willowbridge and are suspending her license for 90 days pending a further determination. And for some reason, Michael is in there with her. Like, get a lawyer. This is not his function, but...
No.
She looks ashamed, but admits she's not surprised, and once again returns to her whole, I'm a fucked up person who doesn't deserve anything good in her life thing. Michael tells her not to say this kind of stuff now, but she ignores him and announces that she wants to surrender her medical license effective immediately. So that's that, I guess.
On to aromatherapy at Kimberly's.
Sydney heads straight from her firing to Jane's, the store, to tell her what happened. And for some reason, Jane is shocked by this, but then stupidly asks if there's anything she can do. And Sydney tries to pitch Jane on how fun it would be for them to work together. Sydney could waive the loan. In fact, she could invest more money. They could be partners. And also shockingly, Jane is all about it. It would give her another chance to put the past behind her. Sydney is visibly amazed at how easy this was, and then poor Samantha rolls by. Clip 14.
Oh, Sam, guess what? Sid's going to be joining us at the boutique.
Really? That's great.
Yeah, of course, we'll have to rework some of your shifts to accommodate mine.
Yeah. And how you do that, Samantha, is by quitting immediately and going back to Maryland because No, with this family.
No. Go be a waterman. Just a reminder that in the last episode, Samantha had to remind Jane to pay her. So again, if she's not getting herself out of the situation, she really deserves every other bad thing that happens to her. And that frankly includes Billy. Over to dinner, where Matt and some of his classmates are celebrating the end of midterms, which is it September on the show? Like it is as people are watching it. Like, I know no time has passed after the season 4 finale, but still, there's
maybe
more revelry.
They're on the
planned.
Dartmouth system? I don't know.
More revelry is planned, but Matt takes off, soon followed by his dealer, Greg, who I'm just now seeing on IMDb. The character's name is Greg Parker. So do the new writers know that is also Allison's name?
Yep.
Anyway.
And his sister, Phyllis, also a drug dealer.
Matt
Phyllis's
doesn't want
to dispensary. Oh, God.
Matt doesn't want to pull another all-nighter, but Greg has something for him. Matt politely declines, but Greg swears what he has isn't habit-forming. It's a party favor. And there's a guy at the club that Greg wants Matt to meet, so he puts just one little red pill in Matt's hand. And when we next see Matt, he's driving his car high as hell and asking himself what was in that pill, which maybe the time to ask is before you take it. He manages to park at a convenience store and lurch over to a payphone to call 911 and say he can't breathe. Put a pin in that. The next morning, Michael's getting ready for work and suggesting that Kimberly make linguine for dinner when he sees that she is also dressed for office work. And she's like, yes, I am going to work with you. Did you want to comment on her look before we move on?
Just one of several instances in which the most mid-90s shoe story is on display. This one is the stack-heeled loafer. For the record, they're both in the visual aids and I would wear either of them. Like those chunky sort of like crenellated sole canvas sneakers. I actually have a pair of those in a high top. Mm-hmm. I'm not better than anyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of lavender, a lot of stack-heeled shoes.
Indeed. So Michael reminds Kimberly that she surrendered her medical license the previous day, and given recent and not so recent events in her story, it's fair that he might think she forgot. So Kimberly explains Peter hired her to fill in for Sydney, who it sounds like Michael doesn't even yet know has been fired. Great partnership, as always. Kimberly is excited that spending all this time together will increase their intimacy, but Michael is not sure being on top of each other in this way will be good for their marriage. And we never see them together at the office in this episode at all. So, by the way, maybe kick this scene to next week if it has no payoff. Just saying.
Yeah. Also, why haven't we been at D&D?
Yeah.
Like, did the set fall? Did the balcony collapse? What happened?
Well, Amanda's on her way there in her very ugly suit, which you can see in the visual aids. Oh, like ice cream man vibes all up and down.
Ice cream Mao. Yeah, it's not good.
That's when Taylor and her platform slides a third very 90s shoe. Stop Amanda to be weird. Clip 15.
I have both an apology and a proposition for you. First off, my going to your husband's trial was simply idle curiosity. I had actually read about the case in the paper, and frankly, I was fascinated. So if my being there offended you in any way, I'm sorry.
Fine. What's the proposition?
Well, my husband and I are opening up a restaurant in the area, and we need an advertiser. And we've heard through the grapevine that you're the best there is, so we would like to hire you.
Well, I guess the grapevine forgot to mention that I'm president of national accounts, so I have either little or no interest in mom-and-pop outfits.
Well, we have another restaurant in Boston, and we're about to go national.
Good. Call me when that happens.
Look, why don't you at least come by, see what we're all about before you make any decisions? How about today for lunch?
What if I decide not to work with you?
Well, then at least you will have had a really great meal.
For an hour of my time, Better be fantastic.
No, Taylor, you're the advertiser. She's your advertising executive. She figures this out later, but still weird.
Yeah.
Then Michael is treating Matt, who I guess has been sitting in the hospital since last night. He seems fine now, but he thought he was having a heart attack. And Michael delights in telling Matt he took PCP. Okay? What? Greg, you let this guy drive on PCP? Yeah. Okay. Matt tries to excuse himself. But Michael disgustedly says Matt is hooked on all drugs, I guess. Matt took last night was a mistake, Matt says. He neither has nor wants more. Michael sighs that Matt has left him no choice but to report this to Dr. Shulman because it's the only way to make Matt stop. And Matt grabs Michael by the lab coat lapels, slams him against the wall, second time this season for this as well, hissing that Michael is no moral barometer and that if Michael does anything to jeopardize Matt's med school career, Matt will tell people that Michael sold him the speed prescription and the PCP, which, like, is that something doctors prescribe? But whatever. Hey, man, you would not have a med school career if not for Michael, which Michael does not point out, instead just backing down. But it's true. Let's not forget.
Yeah.
Then Amanda's showing up for lunch at Kyle's. The man himself comes out from the back. Clip 16.
I appreciate you sacrificing your lunch hour for us. I think my pumpkin on your latte will make it well with your while.
Okay. I clipped this because the first time, I swear I thought he said pumpkin onion latte.
That's what I heard also. It took me several times that I was like, what's an onion latte? Like, what?
It's pumpkin onion-latte. But it seems like that's a tough one for old Robert Estes. Amanda makes barbed small talk. Kyle is the chef, and what does Taylor do? And Taylor just chirps. She does everything else. Based on nothing except pushing the conversation in expository directions, Amanda guesses it was Taylor's decision to move there. Taylor says they agreed that LA was about as far away from Boston as they could get. And Amanda asks if there were problems there, and Taylor just blurts that Kyle had an affair. And Heather Locklear's choice of facial reaction, which you can see in the visual aids, is priceless. It's very much, we just met. This is too much too soon to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Taylor keeps talking. Clip 17.
But marriage is a funny thing, you know? It goes through changes and keeps on ticking. But I don't have to tell you that, do I?
Well, call me old-fashioned, but I don't consider infidelity a change. If my husband were ever unfaithful, not that he would be, but our marriage would be over faster than you can say settlement. So, should I get down to business?
Taylor's like, yes, we should, because now I know where your line is, and I'm planning something, but you don't know what it is yet. And then it's the party. Jane rushes straight to Jake to hug him when he comes in while Billy watches bitterly, and there's no other way to describe it. Just chucks champagne down his throat. You see this in the visual aids, like, mouth wide open like a baby bird, just tossing it back.
It actually reminded me of Robert Hayes in Airplane. When he keeps saying he's a drinking problem and it goes down his front. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Andrew Hsu is just not good at any part of acting. Not blocking, not having a wardrobe that fits properly. Mm-mm. None of it.
No. Allison enters shortly afterward and makes a beeline to Jake. And Jane, the latter, acting bright and cheery and saying she was about to invite Jake for dinner after. And Allison come too. And this is where we see the shoe that Sarah was referring to. A lug-soled Mary Jane behind Allison in ivory.
Oh, yeah. 96.
Allison asks for a rain check. She is tired from work, and Jake can't either because he has to go close at the bar. And Jane gives them both an appraising look, but lets them get away with it. And then Sydney comes over to send Jane to talk to a couple of guests and tells Allison and Jake about her new partnership with Jane. And at their surprise, she says she and Jane have been getting along a lot better lately, and she guesses she could say the same about Allison and Jake. And they both look busted, and Sydney's like, shrug, and wanders off because it's obvious what is happening here.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, Samantha rolls up to Billy. She was not expecting to see him there, but he had to give her a ticket to see Sting at the Hollywood Bowl to make up for their failed dinner. And then Jane in her navy suit and normcore white sneakers that I think are not Jane wardrobe, but we're not supposed to be in the shot. Mm-hmm. See them in the visual aids. Clink a glass so she can make a little speech. It's been a rough year for her. Remember when she was paralyzed? That was this year. That's me saying it, not her, but it was. Jane wants to begin a new chapter in her life and hopes they're all here to join her on her journey and toasts to good business, good customers, and good friends. And then Billy decides it's time to make a scene. Clip 18.
I kind of got a toast. Here's to Janie, who has great taste in clothing and lousy taste in friends. Here's to Jake and Allison, hoping that their sex is still good after everybody knows about their little secret affair.
God. It's true, isn't it? That's why his shirt was in your apartment. You're sleeping together?
Jane, Billy's drunk. Don't listen to him.
No, he's telling the truth. You're the liars.
Jane, we were going to talk to you about this.
Get out. Get out of my store.
You heard what she said. You guys should go.
Okay, let's go.
Are you an idiot or just plain cruel?
Oh, I'm sorry. Just slipped out.
I should listen to my mother.
Oh, thanks.
That's thanks at getting the ticket back, not about the line about her mother.
Oh, my God. Just
that, the shitty laugh. Oh, God. I fucking hate him.
And just, I mean, it's so bad that I can't even hate him. But, I mean, could anyone just, like, not put their shit on Front Street ever?
Yeah.
Jane's like, it's a grand opening. Get out of my store. Like, why do you even care? You literally got away with murder.
Yeah. Also, the guests all gasping at this, like, who even are you people? Do you know anyone involved? Like, I mean, I would be watching if I was one of the guests and I didn't know them, because that's still a good scene, but I probably would not gasp because it would mean nothing to me, just like it means nothing to them.
Yeah. Well, one guest at least, and we captured this in the visual aids, is too busy looking at someone else's chesticles.
He sure is. Sure is.
Oh, boy. Bless his heart.
At Amanda and Peter's, that night, she is straddling his back, giving him a massage and trying to get him to say her place is not so bad. And he grumps that it's fine for 800 square feet of shared walls. And I went on a little bit of a dive here. I'm not sure her walls technically are shared. I think the McBride's place and Allison's and Sydney's are like up the other stairs. But I guess he's right about the floor. Anyway, it doesn't matter where Peter lives as long as they're married. And about that, Amanda notes that they got married under somewhat rushed circumstances, so they never discussed what the institution meant to either of them. Clip 19.
It's pretty simple, isn't it? Till death do you part.
With a few exceptions.
Those being?
Abuse, for one. Infidelity, another.
Well, those will never be applicable. And I think it's in very poor taste to discuss a divorce before we've even had a honeymoon yet.
And have you asked yourself why?
Other than the fact that Sydney sold me down the river?
I've got money.
I don't.
Don't say no yet. Just think about it.
Smooch.
They're adorable. I mean,
I love how uncontroversial this discussion is. Like, in our day, if it were a TV show, this conversation would be like, I want to have an open marriage or something.
Right. Well, look, I got engaged because we were already talking about divorce while watching a true crime show while I was drunk. So this conversation is like just another day at our house.
Mm-hmm.
And I did marry a guy who was on a soap. So
there you go.
That's how that went.
So Amanda gets up to answer a knock at the door with her robe wrapped around her underwear. It is Taylor with a cake that Kyle made. She is not at all deterred by Amanda's state of dishabille, looking past her to shirtless Peter on the couch, saying it's nice to see him again. And he's like, hi. Once again, gets a door slammed in her face. Amanda gets rid of Taylor and asks when Peter and Taylor got so chummy. He says she's just a new patient. Amanda impetuously suggests they go on a honeymoon right now. which the last time Peter was out of the office for a while, his house got sold out from under him, but he would do anything for his wife, and I guess he has nothing left to be sold, so why not? Cut to Matt in a gay bar, which we can tell is a gay bar because the music is vaguely electronic and it's all dudes inside. And a guy behind him who is called Guy, as in the name.
Guy.
In the credits. Checks him out and then takes the stool next to him. And Matt is all, something I could do for you in this shitty way. Like, okay, he's in a vest, but he's not ugly and you have done worse.
It's a terrible vest, though.
It is bad.
Team Matt.
You can see that in the visual aids, too. Guy just noticed Matt has a lot of energy, and he does not physically wink. It's strongly implied by his manner. And Matt's whole attitude is like, is this the first time he's ever been on the receiving end of a pickup? Clip 20.
Not really. Just bored, I guess.
Yeah, me too.
Which means you're looking for company.
You're the one who looks lonely.
Give me a break. You're a hustler?
I'm just having a drink.
What the hell? There's always a first time for everything.
The rumbling of Matt deciding what he's going to do is very funny. I mean, come on, guy.
I just, poor Doug Savant. Like, they cannot find anything to do with this character that is not tragic or demeaning.
Mm-hmm. Including this. They go outside. The bar is totally the place where Jesse used to work on 90210. I think it's a coffee shop or a Jamba Juice on the Fox lot now, or was when we were there the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Matt brings a guy to his car and asks what he charges and readily gets the cash out. And whoops, guy is a vice cop and Matt's under arrest for soliciting prostitution. Wah, wah. And then Jane is showing up at Allison's place. She knocks and then takes the time to cross her arms and pose in the doorway before Allison can answer it, because it's a soap, but still, good Lord. And this is when I noticed the set is possibly the same one they're using for Rand's apartment on Pam and Tommy. Sound off in the comments if you've been watching that as well. I think it is.
Yeah, I'm also pretty sure she's living like around the corner from Richard in the same building. Like, guys. What happened
Richard,
to your
no,
set
Richard
budget?
Had a house. He had his own house. This is an apartment.
No, I know this is an apartment. I just thought there was like a level and they sort of like moved the door.
Could be. So Alan,
I'm not
Alan
married
opens,
to the concept.
Allison opens with an apology, but Jane has come over to fight about it. Clip 21.
How could you pretend to be my friend and the whole time be sleeping with Jake?
We didn't even start seeing each other till you'd already broken up.
I was raped, damn it. It affects a person. I had to process things, Allison. That meant keeping to myself for a while, trying to heal. But instead of supporting me in my darkest hour, you stole the only man I loved.
Look, I know you're in pain, but you have to understand that when Jake and I got together, we were as surprised as anyone else.
I don't believe you.
Well, it's true. And I'm sure if you just think it through, you'll see that we didn't really do anything wrong.
Yes, you did. I love him. And you have him. And it's not fair.
What's going on? Allison, what happened?
It's Jane watching from outside.
It's just terrible. I just feel so bad about this.
Well, we're just going to have to give it some time.
Okay, we'll get back to the scene. But because of the way this apartment's laid out, the only place for Jake to be that Jane wouldn't know he's there is in the can. So when he's coming out, he's like pulling his tank top down. Like, are we supposed to think he was about to take a shower and then just like hit out in there when he heard someone? Like, what? Or was he, did he disrobe to do a number two like George Costanza?
I mean, my money's on dumping out, but...
Yeah. Well, again, sound off in the comments. So Jane hurries away from the spying window on the way, tripping over a cord that causes a spark that ignites a bunch of dirty rags and paint thinner that are very safely clustered around the outlet. And as she's about to get in her car, she looks up and sees fire blazing under Allison's window. Done! And that's why the episode is called Hunka Hunka Burning Love. Very classy, guys. Let's close up by naming our episode MVP. Sydney again?
Sydney again. Absolutely.
She saved the practice. She couldn't have done that if Peter hadn't been shady with his tax situation. Mm-hmm. And she got herself another partnership the same day. Not bad.
Yeah. And because it's Jane, she's probably going to end up owning the place pretty soon because, yeah.
It's true. Least valuable player. Kyle is really getting buffeted a lot by the circumstances of his life and just letting a lot of shit happen to him without having enough agency for my taste.
Yeah. I mean, Samantha had a little bit of backbone this week. I suspect it's not going to last. So I'm going to say Billy.
Yeah. I mean, I just didn't want to say Billy again, but let's be real. It's Billy. It's Billy. Yeah.
It's Billy. Next time on Again With This, it's still Billy. Matt goes to rehab. Amanda goes to Santa Barbara. The McBrides may go too far. And Jane goes around the bend. Make sure you go to the medicine cabinet for some Visine before you visit the visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This. Those are on our website, againwiththispodcast.com. That's also where you'll find a link to buy our very special 90210 book, which is available in all formats. You can also follow us on Twitter at AWT90210. And give our Patreon page your blessing. There's a ton of extra 90210 and Melrose content there, including our monthly digests of the nearly indigestible 90210 OMG podcast that's just for the subscribers at the $5 level and up, but you'll find all of that at patreon.com/againwiththis. I'm Some Kind of Test, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Jinxed Real Estate, Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is just bored, and he's David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.